The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today, we're welcoming back a guest, and I will introduce her in just a minute. And we're going to talk about the state of tobacco prevention and control here in Ulster County and in New York State. And our guest is Susan Lennon. Susan is Manager of Health Promotions of American Lung Association Center for a Tobacco-Free Hudson Valley. And before we get into the subject matter here, I'm just going to give you listeners just some quick facts. And really, the reason why we do this for topics such as this is that we really want to communicate the why where we invest so many resources and time and effort in this area, this public health area. So smoking it really takes a toll. All over the country here in Ulster County, 4 out of 5 of the leading causes of death in Ulster County are from smoking-related diseases. That's heart disease, cancer, chronic respiratory disease, stroke. The fifth is the other big epidemic out there, and that is opioid use. Smoking-related diseases kill approximately 480,000 Americans each and every year. And I used to say when I did presentations, that's the equivalent of 2 747s crashing every day, each and every day, 365 days a year with no survivors. Now, this is versus 900,000 that have been lost from COVID. So every 2 years, we lose the same amount of folks that have died, Americans that have died from COVID year to date, every 2 years from smoking related diseases. 13.4% is the rate of Ulster County adults who smoke, and versus 9.6% for the Mid-Hudson region. So we're higher than the Mid-Hudson region. And you might say, well, 13.4%, that's kind of low, but that represents over 19,000 Ulster County adults who smoke. For households with less than 25,000 annual income, that rate jumps to 15.3%. This is not only a critical public health issue, but also a financial one, because Ulster County taxpayers' share of Medicaid, that's insurance for low-income individuals and families, our local share is approximately $34 million a year that Ulster County taxpayers pay for medical insurance for low-income households and paying for all of those chronic diseases caused by smoking. Part of the good news is that Ulster County was one of the first counties in New York State to prohibit smoking on all county property, the first to raise the age to purchase tobacco products to 21, and the first to adopt a local law prohibiting selling tobacco products within 1,000 feet of all K through 12 schools. And Sue is going to tell us a lot more about this subject, and we're so happy to have her. Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio, Sue.
Thank you, Vin. It's so good to be back. Thank you so much for having me
to talk about
this important health topic that we someday hope to not be talking about anymore. But for now, it's important to get a little update, and it's really great to be back. Thank you.
Nice to have you back. So, Sue, I gave some quick facts about tobacco use. Can you elaborate on the tobacco use trends in New York State and right here in Ulster County? Are we making progress?
Absolutely. I'm glad you started by asking that question, because I like to start with some positive news. So a little background on me and the Center for Tobacco-Free Hudson Valley. We are funded by the New York State Department of Health Bureau of Tobacco Control. So we are a state-funded organization, taxpayer money. We are a grant program of the American Lung Association. So New York State has made a very strong commitment starting in 2000 by creating the Bureau of Tobacco Control, investing in trying to help people to quit smoking, trying to prevent young people from starting smoking, and trying to reduce the amount of secondhand smoke that people are exposed to. So that's a real broad overview of the work we do. But since 2000, so now we're in 2022, but most of our statistics are as recent as 2020. So in that 20-year time span, when we first started out in New York, the smoking rate for adults was 21.6%. So assume that for every 100 adults in New York, 22 people approximately were smokers. As of 2020, that rate has gone down to 12%, from 21.6 to 12%. So we've made massive gains and improvements in the 20 years that intervened. And the so the adult tobacco rate is 12%. And as Ben mentioned earlier, Ulster County has followed those trends in reducing tobacco rate. We can take a little bit of credit for that, but primarily because Ulster County has committed through its Department of Health to a tremendous effort to tackle tobacco. And as Ben also mentioned earlier, local policies to prevent people from being exposed to secondhand smoke and young people from buying the products. So it's a real partnership, and that's what has really helped people helped us to see a drop in the tobacco use rate. The tobacco control program is made up of a variety of other programs. There's two other. We're one of the pillars of the program. We're the health systems portion of the tobacco control program. And then there's the Advancing Tobacco-Free Communities portion program focused on creating policies to reduce exposure to secondhand smoke, such as tobacco-free grounds, tobacco-free parks, tobacco-free housing. There's a reality check component. That's the youth engagement portion. And they take ownership of the influences that tobacco companies are trying to impose on them, you know, to try to attract them to become new smokers or tobacco users. And then there's a New York State Smokers Quit Line, and I'll talk about that a little further along. So altogether, these programs that have been in existence for 22 years now have tried and succeeded in reducing the adult smoking rate.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the reasons why we in Ulster County passed the tobacco use marketing law, which prohibits the issuance of tobacco retail licenses within 1,000 feet of a K-12 school, is because we recognized how much more difficult it is to get addicted adult smokers to stop than it is to prevent young people from initiating smoking in the first place. I think that's really a critical factor, right? Because, you know, for the tobacco companies, their customers are literally dying, right? As they get older, they dying from, you know, smoking-related diseases, or as they get older, tobacco companies have to continuously recruit new smokers. That's why they spend $2.5 million, I think it is, a day, right, in marketing their products, mostly at point of purchase at the, you know, the corner stores, the convenience stores, you know, kinds of quick check type of places, you know, where our kids frequent, especially if they're in proximity to a school. So I think that's really critical. So Sue, where is the work going now? I know you mentioned that a lot of progress has been made, but really what areas are you focused on now, you know, both on the state level and through your program?
Well, you make a really great point, Vin, about who is smoking now, and you know, really the tide has shifted. So I'm going to talk about youth smoking rate in a minute, if it's okay, because I want to tie
absolutely
in vaping in a few minutes. But so the success that we have achieved, which we're delighted about, is tampered by the fact that smoking is still the number one preventable cause of disease and death in the United States. That, unfortunately, is still a fact. In New York State, we still have 2 million adults who smoke, and 22,000 people die in New York State from smoking-related illnesses and secondhand smoke every year. And so of the people who are still smoking, we have found that there's three populations who still are smoking at the highest rates. And studies are showing us who they are, and they are people who with low education, which is defined as having less than a high school diploma, low income, as Vin said, less than $25,000 a year of income, and those with poor mental health. So our primary focus is to reach these people and get them the assistance that they might want or need when the time comes for them to quit smoking. Our work as health systems contractors is sort of behind the scenes. We work with medical and mental health organizations. We partner with the key decision makers or the leaders of those organizations, and we provide training and education for the healthcare staff in the best practice method of treating tobacco dependence. So that sounds very medical-y, but what we're doing is we're going to where the people receive their treatment, the people who are smoking at the highest rates. So federally qualified health centers, community health clinics, mm-hmm. mental health agencies, and substance use recovery organizations. This is where people who are smoking at the highest rates are receiving their health care services, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. So by us providing the tools to those healthcare providers to incorporate tobacco dependence treatment, when people come in for their healthcare services, we want them to be offered tobacco dependence treatment at the same time. Great. And that's the strategy.
Well, I'd like to discuss those tools in a little bit more detail, but first we're going to take a very short break. We'll be back after these words. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and our guest today is Susan Lennon. Susan is Manager of Health Promotions of American Lung Association Center for a Tobacco-Free Hudson Valley. And we've been talking about the state of tobacco prevention and control in New York and what it means in Ulster County and what it means to all of us for our health, for our family's health, for our, as taxpayers and so on. It is an ongoing public health crisis, but there's a lot of great work being done with it. And Sue's organization does a lot of that work. Sue, before the break, we were talking about the focus on healthcare centers and federally qualified healthcare centers, behavioral health treatment programs, and so on, where there is a high incidence of smoking. And you talked about some of the tools that your organization brings to those programs. Can you talk about those a little?
Sure. Thank you. So I was talking about people receiving their services and us being there through the providers to help them to have those services offered to them. 80% of patients see a physician once a year. This is a tremendous opportunity. So people go to get their services, and very often, you know, they're always asked about their smoking, habits and that sort of thing. And that's not uncommon. But what we are seeing is that in the mental health environment, the behavioral health, and I mean substance use recoveries for agencies, for example, for years and years and years, people who are going to these organizations for their care were never talked to about their smoking or tobacco use. There's a very strong correlation between smoking and addictions and mental illness, extremely strong. 41% of people in these mental health environment smoke. That's a very high rate. And studies have shown that as many as 80% of people who receive mental health care would like to try to quit smoking. But for years, there was no treatment offered until it was studies were done and they determined that there was a 25-year mortality gap between people with behavioral health conditions versus the general population. So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is people were receiving treatment. They're working on their medications, trying to get themselves, you know, with their counseling, trying to get, you know, through depression, get their mental health organized. And year after year, they're working so hard on it. And suddenly now they've got lung cancer. Suddenly now they've got COPD or, you know, they've had a heart attack because their smoking went unaddressed all this time. Now, there's a reason that these people or this population wasn't offered smoking treatment at the time. There were a lot of myths that sort of existed in this environment. There were unfounded concerns that quitting smoking while being treated for other substances would really interfere with treatment. There was a very strong prevalence of thought that you can't take everything away from them. You know, if they're worrying, trying to get, you know, recovery from drugs or alcohol, you can't take their smoking away. That would just ruin them. So, and smoking has been used over the years as a reward for good behavior in inpatient settings, for attending group and taking social breaks. You know, smoking was incorporated into the recovery process. And now we realize that that is not right thinking, that you can't take a whole population of people and just say, well, they're not interested in quitting, they're not capable of quitting, and we don't want to make them talk to them about quitting. And I don't mean to say that anybody that's going into treatment should be forced to quit smoking. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they deserve to be offered tobacco dependence treatment, just like anybody else who is going to see their doctor or their their dentist or primary care provider. So we're working very closely with these agencies to try to educate their staff on the best practice treatment for treating tobacco in these environments.
Mm-hmm. And what does a program look like, or are there actually classes? Are there conversations that take place between the healthcare provider and the patient? All of the above. How does that work?
Are you talking about the mental health setting?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of how do those prevention or those quit smoking programs manifest? I mean, is it an actual class that people attend? Is it a conversation that takes place with their therapist or provider?
Very often people in mental health settings, they're given, they're assessed and they're asked about their life goals. What are their goals that they personally are trying to achieve? Is it trying to, return to a family, return to a job, recover from substance addiction? So if they're smoking, they should be asked, are you interested in quitting? Have you ever thought of quitting in the next 2 months or 3 months or 6 months? Now, very often they're going to say no, but if you don't have the conversation, then they're not even being offered that as an option. Right. And some people say, yes, I would love to quit smoking. I would love to not be a smoker anymore.
And if that question comes from a trusted therapist or healthcare provider, it carries a lot of weight, right? Versus,
Absolutely. Right? People who look for their treatment or get assistance for quitting smoking with a healthcare professional of any stripe are 2 to 3 times more likely to be successful in their quitting. And I also would like to point out that if somebody is able to quit smoking while they're in treatment for other addictions or they're recovering from other drug addictions, they have a 25% greater chance of remaining long-term abstinent from their original addiction if they quit smoking too, because of the comorbidity of nicotine addiction with other substance addictions. So if you quit everything, you're more likely to remain
very
abstinent.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So Sue, let's shift gears a bit, because there is another phenomenon which has grown to crisis proportions, particularly among our young people, and that is vaping and e-cigarette use. Talk to us about that. Is that problem continuing to grow, and is it still the public health crisis among our youth that the Surgeon General reported in his findings?
It certainly is. The First of all, adolescents don't smoke cigarettes. The adolescent smoking rate is 2.4% last measured in 2018. So kids just aren't interested in cigarettes. But from the time that we first started keeping data, the tobacco control program, which was 2014, we saw that this youth vaping rate was 10.5%. In 2018, it was 27.4%.
Yikes.
I mean, it absolutely skyrocketed. So we were on the verge of almost having the first generation of non-smokers not addicted to nicotine. And then in came the electronic cigarette, also known as ENDS, which is electronic nicotine delivery system.
Right.
But it's any delivery system that includes the liquid, the cartridge, and the liquids are unregulated. They're very dangerous. They can be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's in them. They're flavored products, clearly intended to attract young people. They don't think that they're dangerous. Kids have this perception that they are not dangerous, but they're loaded with nicotine. And I just want to tell a very quick story. I sit on a coalition up in Sullivan County, and one of the women who was there talked to me after the meeting, and she said she wanted to tell me this story because she said people need to know this. So she said her daughter, who was 19 and away at college at the time, started to vape, and she got extremely sick. They didn't know what was wrong with her. They had to run up, get her, bring her home. She was in the hospital. She almost died. They thought she was going to die. And she, something that was in the e-liquid or the e-juice made her extremely sick, made her lungs shut down. So her mother was crying as she was telling me this story. So she did recover, but she had to drop out of college. She was very depressed. She had lost her confidence, and her whole family was affected. So this woman said to me, people need to know that these are very dangerous devices. And I just share that. That's a true story.
It's like a game of whack-a-mole to tobacco companies, right? So we got them to, you know, admit that they were, you know, recruiting young smokers, you know, and that we got them to take all kinds of measures to prevent marketing to young people. And then they shift over to electronic cigarettes, which are high performance nicotine delivery systems that get kids addicted in just another way. Right. Really, it's unbelievable.
It's so, frustrating.
Before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we tell our listeners where they can go if they're interested in quitting smoking and or tobacco use, and also where they can get more information about any of your programs or any of the subjects that we've touched on today.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. I would like to end on a positive note. But so right now, I just want to reinforce, if anybody's interested or thinking of quitting, the first place to go is either talk to your doctor, talk to your healthcare provider, talk to the person you trust in the medical field that you can relate to. And they should be able to help you with talking about the medications. There's 7 FDA approved medications that are proven to be effective. Those are like the patch, the gum, the lozenge, inhaler, and the nasal spray. And then there's varenicline, which is Chantix, and bupropion, which is Zyban. Those are proven to be effective. But there's a New York State Smokers Quit Line, which I referred to earlier. So that's a free resource to all New Yorkers. They provide free coaching. This is by calling on the telephone. Coaching services, help setting up with a quit plan, 2 weeks of free nicotine replacement therapy, patches or gum. There's a texting program. They have a very robust website. So the phone number to call is, it's 1-866-NY-QUITS, Q-U-I-T-S, 1-866-697-8487. And the website address is www.nysmokefree.com. They are the best quit line in the country. And I'm not just saying that.
Wonderful, Sue. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for all the work that you and your colleagues do to address this public health crisis, to prevent our young people from becoming addicted adult smokers. It's really wonderful work, and we really appreciate it. We're so grateful for it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Be
well. Nice to have you. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.